Current state on WKAR, Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette's taken action to dismiss a lawsuit seeking to overturn the state's controversial right-to-work law. In January, a coalition of groups, including the ACLU, the Michigan AFL-CIO, the Michigan Education Association, and others, filed the suit on the grounds that the December passage of right-to-work violated the state's Open Meetings Act. In the action taken Friday in Ingham County Circuit Court, the Attorney General denies the assertion and includes 6 sworn statements from the state police and legislative officers at the Capitol. Dan Korobkin is the legislative counsel for the Michigan ACLU, and he joins us to respond to the Attorney General's actions. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for joining us. Apparently, the AG is requesting dismissal of your suit on the grounds that there was no violation of the Open Meetings Act, since those meetings were open to the public, and I gather that his angle on this is that even after the Capitol building was closed, which it was, the gallery was still full of spectators. Is that a potential weakness in your case?
Well, I don't think so, Mark, but let me just start off by reminding everyone what this lawsuit is about. There was a lot of controversy over the substance of the right-to-work legislation because it was such a big change in public policy for our state. But the reason why we brought this lawsuit was not because of the substance of it, but because of the way it was passed. It was passed in an untransparent, undemocratic, unaccountable manner. It was rushed through the legislature in about a day. It did not go through the committee hearings that normally allow for public input on important legislation. It was done during a lame duck legislature, so after the elections had already occurred. And it's been they stuck in an appropriation into the bill to make it referendum proof from the voters ever overturning it. And so, on top of all that, Mark, and why we brought this lawsuit, was that they closed the doors to the Capitol of the state of Michigan while this bill was being debated and voted upon. And from what we know and from what we can tell, this is an unprecedented event. You know, we've had many, 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 many controversial days in the Capitol in Lansing. But from what we can tell, this is the first time that the public has been locked out of the Capitol and not allowed to go in and share their views on the legislation. So we were expecting this kind of response from the state, which is essentially saying, look, there was a public safety concern. People who were in the Capitol were allowed to stay, but because of public safety concerns, we just couldn't let anyone else in.
So,
Yep.
But the basis of your lawsuit, is the violation of the Open Meetings Act, correct? But you're saying that since some number of people could not get in, that's a violation of the OMA, the Open Meetings Act. But even if the gallery is already full?
Well, the Open Meetings Act requires everyone to be allowed into to the session. Now, if you really can't get in, if you can't accommodate the number of people who want to get in, then all the government has to do is make reasonable accommodations for people. But that's not what happened here. Our understanding is that there were plenty of seats open in the galleries. It's our understanding that at least in one of the galleries, members of the legislative staff actually intentionally occupied the seats of the gallery to keep public citizens out. And so these allegations from the state, this defense from the state, it's expected, but you know, these are disputed facts and we're going to have to find out what really happened.
These are affidavits submitted by the sergeant at arms of the House and the Senate, and they state the gallery was at capacity, and they did allow new spectators in, but only when somebody left, which they said they did. You have doubts about those sworn statements, then?
Well, yeah, not all of those statements are. Some of those are couched in pretty slippery language. It's not really clear who is seeing what and who is where to to see what at what time. But yeah, that's correct. You know, we've spoken with plenty of people who saw that there were open seats in some of the galleries, and that and that the galleries were actually being occupied by some staffers who were trying to prevent members of the public from going in. And so these things are going to have to be worked out. But one thing to keep in mind here, Mark, is that the Capitol wasn't just closed for a short period of time to deal with some emergency situation. Capitol was closed all afternoon. And so not only is the question in this lawsuit whether if there's an emergency there can be temporary measures taken, but also whether it's really appropriate to close the Capitol for an entire afternoon while important bills are being debated. And so, you know, as the afternoon wore on, the halls of the Capitol began to empty out, the galleries emptied out. There were plenty of seats open, and members of the public who were standing outside who wanted to get in were locked out of the Capitol. They were told they couldn't come in. And so you know, these are the sort of things that really the state's affidavits and brief didn't really make clear, but that's what's going to be at issue in this case, and we're prepared to respond appropriately.
Well, are you willing to concede, Dan, that at some point safety may have been a perfectly legitimate issue, but you're just saying that it dragged on and they used it as an excuse not to let people in the Capitol?
You know, and I'm a civil rights and civil liberties attorney, and so I bring a lot of cases having to do with the First Amendment rights and the other constitutional rights of the public, and the general response, sort of it's almost a knee-jerk response when these cases are brought up, is, well, there was a public safety issue. You know, well, there was, you know, we needed to deal with a public safety problem. Sometimes that's true. A lot of times it's not, Mark, and a lot of times public safety is being used as a catch-all phrase to try to justify whatever happens. You know, when there's something important going on and it involves the constitutional rights of the public to see what their government is doing and to be present when their government is taking important actions, you have to really scrutinize carefully whenever the government tries to block people from seeing what's happening under the guise of public safety. And so, you know, this is what the courts are for, right? I mean, this is why we have to solve disputes sometimes through the courts, is that sometimes one person's view of public safety doesn't really justify blocking the public from seeing what their government is doing.
What kind of timeline are you looking at here then, Dan? How do you expect things to unfold, and when do you expect things to unfold here coming up?
Well, as you mentioned, the state just filed a motion to dismiss the case, and the court has scheduled a hearing on that motion at the beginning of April. So, you know, in the next month or so, we're going to be putting together our response. The court will hear oral argument, and then after the court's decision, if the state is not successful in having the case dismissed, we're going to have a period of discovery and then perhaps even a trial. So, you know, this is we're in it for the long haul, and because this is an important issue about transparency in government, democratic decision making, and making sure that the public that the government is accountable to the people.
Dan Korobkin is the legislative counsel for the Michigan ACLU. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.